Yeah, I'm sorry, the October always takes a little longer than I think. But let's try for next week to start already, if we can today. The base, I told you, look at all the, just first daf, just go through Shakmataria, because I'm going to need anyway, just, you know, for the end of this. And then, again, first small topic is the question of the Tosas. And again, look at the, I think I told you things to look at, the Rosh, the Mordechai, and the material in Shulchan Aruch is very interesting. The Ramah and the Shach and the Taz and the whole discussion with the Marik about lower Eino Eino Raya, that whole discussion about Nashim in Shechita. Also look at the Gemara in Yud Zayin Amud Beis, where the Gemara talks about Sor Sakina, that you have to bring the sack into the Talmud Chacham, and we'll proceed. After that, we'll just go to the. We'll do quickly. I want to talk about the Temura topic and then the Dharma topic. That's really just Agav here, obviously, but it's a little bit of an opportunity. So you won't spend too much time, but I want to talk about the Temura, just so you know what we're looking at. The Temura topic, and especially the question of whether or not you get double Malkus and whether there's a double Labin, Lo Yachlifenu Velo Yamir. And I want to compare that a little bit to Bayura Bayimatzei, and general Sefer Mitzvah's question. And again, it's going to fit in, hopefully, with, broadly speaking, with what we talked about in the Minyan and Mitzvah's issues generally. You know, when you have an Asein Alav, do you count them twice? What about a Lav of a Mechalal Asay? What about two Lav? And what about two Asin? But again, we'll try to do it quickly. And then also the Durim topic, which also is just a drive-by, but Tov Asher Lo Tidor, Misha Tidor V'Teshalem, Lo Teshalem, sorry. But what about Misha Tidor V'Shet Teshalem, right? So are Nedarim a good thing, a bad thing? I want to talk about that just also very quickly. The Ran and Nedarim, Yerushalmi, about, Ki'ilu Bona Bama. We'll talk about Bama a little today also. And especially the Rambam has a little bit of a complicated shita about that question in different places, and Shuas and Nazir and the Darim. So I want to talk about those things, and then as just very quickly, and then we'll get into the question of Chulin Al Taharas HaKodesh a little bit, and either way, we'll talk about that Gemara even before we start with the other things, and then more moving straight forward into the again Cherev Kachalo also comes up on base and Gimel Amud Aleph. We'll spend a couple of minutes on it, but we did spend a lot of time last year in the beginning of Baba Kama on it. I didn't know last year that we were going to be learning Chulin. At that time, I thought it was Gittin. So, there were enough people here that we don't need to. But there were one or two other things that we left out, I think, that we made allusion to, about a bit of Hananel and a few things. So we'll just talk very quickly, but that's not going to be a long topic. And then we have to get into so you know that we're planning to move forward, and once we go, we're moving forward in the dot. Okay, good. In terms of where we were, Moshe was Mechadish in the name of the Doravi. That this is like the most linchpin sugya in the Chulin. Tezayin on base Yud Zayin and Aleph. So we have to do credit to it. So one of the things, very much related to this question, he just printed out a whole, 100 pages for me. So probably 15, right? But that I didn't get a chance to look at. But I guess since he holds that this is a linchpin sugya, it makes sense that he wrote a lot about it. But what I want to say about it is that regarding this question of how linchpin it really is, this isn't a separate question. This is a question, that goes back. From the beginning of the history of Mefarshim Alashas in a certain way. What do I mean by that? It's interesting to note that the Rif omitted the whole sugya of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. There's no halacha lemaisa difference. We understand that methodologically in terms of what the Rif was writing. But since we have an issue in the sugya, which I'm going to get to in a couple of minutes anyway, not on whether you should discuss this whole topic, but, you know, about the suffix of the Gemara, what happens, you know, when you're nichnas l'Eretz Yisrael and you still have remnants of the basar nechira, what the status of that is. So we know that's the suffix, and it's an interesting discussion of the Gemara. And then Rashi says that, well, what does Rashi say, Daniel? Rashi says about that suffix, he's troubled by something, and he says something.
I don't remember on hand.
What's the problem that I'm kind of alluding to? I'm just trying to put, you know, the Doravi's comment, but really now I'm just using it as an excuse. It's related directly to everything that we've been talking about. Yoni? Matthew? Rashi says Drosh for Kabbalah. We'll get to it in a minute. Because what bothered Rashi was, what do you mean? There's a suffix in the Gemara about something that happened a long, long time ago. What's the big deal? Right? So Rashi says, Drosh v'kabril skar, and the Rush is chole. We'll get to the Rush soon. But the upshot is that the Rush thinks that Drosh v'kabril skar makes sense if we're talking about Torah Shebitsa. Fascinating discussion. We'll join it. But not, you know, fully right now. Just want to make a bigger point first. The Rush says if you're talking about, you know, Mikra, like what does the pasuk mean, then it's drosh v'kabel schar. But if you're talking about, you know, some hypothetical abstract chakira, you know, if it's something about happened a long time ago, then there should be no drosh v'kabel schar. Right? So in a way, but it's in the Gemara. So then the Rush comes up with his own suggestion that this Gemara, this suffix, is paradigmatic of a broader issue, and I think that that is very suspect. No, I'll say it this way. I think the application to the broader issue that the Rush suggests, I'll explain all this in a couple of minutes, is open to question. I understand totally where he gets it from, but I think it's very open to question. But I'm not so sure that in general, you know, Rashi fundamentally disagrees with the Rush so much, which I'll explain more in a minute. So there is this interesting discussion about whether hypothetical, you know, issues, you know, about, you know, long lost, you know, opportunities or circumstances, you know, how relevant are they, how much focus we should be putting. We'll get back to just another second. But what I'm trying to say is the Rif doesn't even discuss the whole sugya. Forget about the suffix, right? He omits it. So is it purely, it is purely methodological, let's say, it's partly methodological because he's writing a Shulchan Aruch for, you know, for his time. But it's still interesting. Sometimes the Rif does weigh in. What's particularly interesting is the Rambam, because the Rambam doesn't just weigh in, but he grants extra prominence to this topic. And as we discussed, he, you know, he develops it way, again, you know, he pours mental energy into this in order to get the shita that he ends up with, which we tried to elaborate. Not just reading the Gemara and saying, oh, we pass him like Rabbi Akiva, pass him like Rabbi Shmuel, although that isn't so obvious either. There are plenty of Rishonim who seem to think that we pass him like Rabbi Shmuel. The Rambam came up with some sort of a Rabbi Akiva, but with, you know, an important twist. So clearly he poured a lot of effort and energy into this sugya. And again, he could have said, he could have, you know, asked, like, why is Rambam putting this in his Sefer Psak? You know, of course, he does discuss Tachim and Taros. You know, the Rif doesn't even discuss that. And Zrayim. You know, but that doesn't mean that he should be discussing something that Masha Avar Avar that happened in the past. That isn't so typical in Rambam. So the Drosh V'Kabel Skar question looms large. Right? By the same token, we had in Rabbi Yosef ibn Palat, that whole discussion, where people are quoting, you know, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva to explain the status, the nusach bracha, the need for a bracha, bizmanenu. Obviously, they didn't think that the past was in the past. And at least Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel were drosh v'kabel schar. So the bigger point I'm trying to make is, getting back to, I guess, the Dor Ravi's comment too, is that the Rambam agreed with the Dor Ravi at least somewhat. If you were to ask the Rambam, like, this is just drosh v'kabel schar, he would tell you what he's talking about. Because this goes to the heart and core of the character, of the nature, you know, of what Shechita is about. It's about the evolution of Heter Basar and Shechita, And what could be more relevant than that? Lemaisa, you know, the psak of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva doesn't affect anything, this manazet, but in terms of our understanding, our deep understanding, our profound understanding of, you know, Shkutei Chutz and Shchita and Heter Basar and the role of the relationship between Kachim and Chulin, this is a critical piece of the puzzle. That's what the Rambam will answer you. And again, I don't know that the Rif disagrees. It could be that the Rif will say, listen, I'm not dealing with Inyane Zeroyim and Taharos either. Although, again, I could have made a case for the fact that if you're dealing with Inyane Shechita, you should still be dealing, you know, with this history. But the point is that the history isn't history. And that's what Yosef and Palat was saying, and obviously that's what the Rambam felt as well. And therefore, the strategic place that he put it, I think is also important. Again, the question was asked the other day, right, especially relative to the Rambam's presentation on the mitzvah of Kiddushin, where the back history is, you know, first you have Kod Matan Torah, then you have Matan Torah. Here you have, you know, the mitzvah of Shechita, and then at the very end of, you know, in some respects, the end of Shechita before you get to Inyanei Treifa, you know, and in the context also of Kiddushas Yisrael, as we talked, whether it's Drabanan or Daraisa, right, you have the Rambam revisiting, not only does he have it here, but he has it in a strange place. So Asher mentioned to me the other day that either way it's different than Erusin, because this is the Jewish, this is the internal history of Shechita, as opposed to the contrast, you know, and to, you know, Bnei Noach, you know, and the contribution of Matan Torah. And I think that is totally true. But I'll just add more, and that is that by, if the Rambam had put this whole history, and it could be sort of fits in with that also, in the beginning of Hilchos Shechita, so on the one hand, you know, we could have read it exactly how we're reading it, and that would have been fine. But we also could have dismissed it as just history. We might have said, well, you know, this, the Rambam is describing, you know, what took place. And then, you know, it would be, you know, less clear if the Rambam just, you know, is interested in the history of the institution per se and doesn't think that that's Drosh V'Kabel Skar, that that belongs in a Sefer Psak, or whether he's trying to make this bigger point about the nature of Shechita, you know, in the present as reflected by its evolution. So maybe by putting in Perek Daled, you know, and having this as a kind of the bookends, you know, beginning with, you know, the nature of the mitzvah and then concluding with the history, you know, of it, you know, to accentuate even more the role that it plays, maybe that's really what is going on in the Rambam. And having said that, it's also very interesting to note, and again, I think this works in very well with the other things that we've seen anyway, including, I think I forgot when I was reviewing, the idea of having a different makor for Chaya, right, which is also you know, sensitive to the Kachim question, etc. But having said all of that, there is one really interesting omission in the Rambam. Right? On the one hand, the Rambam, in contrast to the Rif, and so on and so forth, everything I've just been saying, and even in the placement and the end of the day, reinforces the idea that this past history is presently significant. On the other hand, he does omit something. Namely, Aaron? The suffix that, you know, Rashi says is drosh v'kabel schar, that the Rush says, you know, if it was only drosh v'kabel schar, we would ignore, and finds now questionable, you know, applications to, but important applications, we'll get to that in a few minutes, we sum up Rashi, the Rambam omits it completely. So that is curious. It's not as if, you know, he's omitting the topic. So the history is important, but the chakir is not important. Hard to know. But I will say two things very quickly about it, and maybe we'll get a chance to speak more at some point. Number one, the whole discussion in the Gemara, we'll discuss it, you know, more when we have a chance, meaning what the safek is. But that whole safek is anyways problematic according to the Rambam. And this is a ha'ara that was made by the Mishnah Melech in Parashas Drachim. Anybody familiar or aware? Maritzkayas speaks about it on the spot, and I think the Rashash, maybe? Some of the Achronim in the back of the Gemara speak about it. A lot of the Achronim in general speak about it. There's a famous view of the Rambam, Adopts Malachim. Anybody? No? Which Ramban disagrees with in Parshas Matos. Still nobody? And that is, what was the scope of the heter of eating macholos asuros in the context of milchama and kibush haaretz? Yeah.
The Ramban says it's only for soldiers when they're like hungry at war.
Only when they're in a state of need, right? When they're ravenous, right? Ramam Shita in Parakas Hilchos Malachim is that this heter is limited. It's not Pikuach Nefesh, of course. Pikuach Nefesh, you don't need a heter. Right? But it's a special din only bedochak, only be-re'evim, etc. And the Ramban in Parshas Matos, you know, says that that's completely wrong. This was a heter, you know, b'shas milchama in its own right. It's an interesting question, especially in light of the you know, kind of the parallel, which we'll get to back in a second anyway, of Yifas Toar, you know, in Lo Dibra Torah LeKeneged Yetzer Hara. The Rambam sees this, you know, as kind of a dechuya, we'll call it, not as a kind of hutra, and that's his view. Why is that relevant, Shai, to hear? You're absolutely right. That's the argument. Very important argument, obviously. It says a lot about Muhammad and Yehuda. So the Mishnah Melech notes this, and the Mishnah Melech says the Rambam should have a problem with our Gemara. Why should the Rambam have a problem with our Gemara? Our Gemara is wondering what's the status of Basar Nechira, right? Once you're Nichnas La'aretz. And then the Gemara says, well, if you're allowed to eat chazir, you know, then you should certainly be allowed to eat, you know, basa nechila, which was mutter to you. You're not allowed to eat what was asur to you 20 minutes ago. So you're, you know, kol shekein, if you're allowed to eat what was asur to you, you're certainly allowed to eat what was mutter to you and just became asur to you. Isn't that the line in the Gemara? Yehuda? Right, you have the... But you're Birmia. Evari basa nechira shechnisu Yisrael imahem la'aretz ma'u. Says, go ahead. Ilei v'b'shav shekivshu. Koltuv, that's the makar, right, for this heter, right, which the Ramban says is a kind of a hutra, and which the Rambam says is a kind of a dechuya. Okay. Kisun t'chaziri, kama, basa nechira mibai? Meaning, what's the basa nechira mibai? Meaning, you were allowed to eat this beheter just, you know, 15 minutes ago. Right? So, Ella la'achar mikan. Okay, we'll discuss that also. That's a Ramban problem, actually, with that. You know, b'shas kibush. Ibai seimali olam b'sheva shekibshu k'yishru shlal shal akum v'ididhu lo ishtri. Take. Correct? So this is the Mishnah Melech's question against the Rambam. He says, listen, this is not a good question according to the Rambam, because the Gemara's safek is not whether or not you can eat basar nechira only be tzorech or be tzorech gadol kishu ra'ev. Pashtus of the Gemara is that the safek is whether you can eat it at all. So according to the Bishlam, according to the Ramban, the Gemara makes sense. But according to the Rambam, it's really problematic. If you look at the Maariv Chayis in the back here, I think he suggests that gufa, this is what the Gemara, when the Gemara says, oh, shlal didhu, etc., that these two, you know, deos in the Gemara are gufa at the core of the Rambam's perspective. Namely, you know, according to that line in the Gemara, the Rambam would tell you that the, you know, batim leim koltuv was hutra. But when the Gemara says that shlal akum, that's what it says. That's the transition point, you know, in the Gemara. Right, we're not the only people looking for transition points in the Gemara to explain difficult Rambam. He's saying that gufa depends on this shaklavataria. This is the shaklavataria that dictates that question. Okay, and other people say other things. Okay, Maybe we'll get back to some of those other things. But the point I want to make is, number one point, I'll suggest two things. Number one point is, the Rambam omits the whole Safek. Maybe that's one of the reasons that he omitted the Safek. Because he felt that this Safek doesn't make sense, right, in light of, you know, the overwhelming evidence that leads him to his Psak and his Malacha. It's true that he gives unbelievable prominence and mental energy, as I say, that the prominence of quoting it, he doesn't usually quote history for the sake of history, the fact that where he quotes it, you know, those are two very important points, and that's what I'm contrasting with others. But I'm adding, you know, they didn't just quote it, he worked on it and came up with, you know, a whole perspective on it, you know, a different take on Rabbi Akiva, a psak for Rabbi Akiva, you know, different language about the tzivui and the whole business. We had to work hard for it. Other people say different things for the Rambam, as we know. Everybody agrees that the Rambam worked hard, and that what he says is not something that you just, you know, read the Gemara and then you just write it down in the Rambam. Okay. So then why did he admit this suffix? All of a sudden he became shy about Drosh V'Kabel Skar? Right? Methinks not. However, maybe this is connected to the other puzzle. Says, how does the Rambam read the Gemara? Right? Maybe that's the point. That's why he knew that part of the Gemara is contradicted by other parts of the Gemara, other sugyas. That's number one. I think the other possibility is that given how the Rambam understood Basar Nechira and Rabbi Akiva's Heter, maybe he was just uncomfortable with the whole Safek. Particularly, again, this is a little bit different than what I just said, but it could overlap with it. I don't think you need it, but I'm suggesting that this factor then doesn't only stand alone, meaning it could also help. What do I mean? The whole Safek of the Gemara, whether Basar Nechira might continue to be mutter, the chefs of Basar Nechira might be mutter, since the Maisa Nechira was done, you know, the Heter, that Gufa, and this is a little bit my issue, I guess, with the Rush, might have to do with how you look at Nechira. There are many ways to explain the Safek. I'll discuss some more in a few minutes, but one very easy one might be, to what extent, you know, do we take literally the Gemara's comment of Nechiroso Zui Shchitasa? Right, that gets introduced in the Sugya and Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Again, this is an important question in its own right, but also, again, it's very, I think, conceptually important about Nevela and Nechira. So when the Gemara says, you know, how can you say Hatzon v'Bakar Yishachet Lahem? Right, it's not Yishachet, it's Yinacher. So the Gemara says, no, Nechiraso Shalem Zui Shchitas. Good. So linguistically, that solves the problem. Terrific. But is it an accurate, is it satisfying? Right. So this kind of raises the question, when Basar Nechira was permitted, right, we really didn't perceive it as Nevela. Right, and we really are saying Nechiraso Zui Shchitasa. Right? You know, Mashal Amad Avardoma, you have something... two other things that are comparable to it, maybe we'll talk before Yom Kippur. One is Arifasan, you know, Zui Kishritasan in Eglah Rufa. The other one, related to Yom Kippur, is about the Seer Hamishtaleach, right? That, you know, throwing him off the tzuk, you know, is Kishritasan. Okay? Because Chinuch wonders whether you can eat it afterwards, if you find it. Probably have to wait till after Yom Kippur, though. So we'll discuss it, if we get a chance. So it's an interesting question. Nechirasan zui, shchitasan arifasan, you know, zui kasa minatzuk. That's what the Gemara is suggesting? Or it's a melitza. What we're really saying is there's no iser, right? Or there was a heter. We've already seen different perspectives. The more you think that, you know, Nechira was a heter, and, you know, that it, you know, there's something, you know, there's still a stigma attached to basar nechira, right? The less likely you are to take nechiraso zuhi shchitaso seriously. On the other hand, the Gemara, the next line, this is very important too, has, initially the Gemara did take it seriously. Because what does the Gemara say? The next line, Bishlam al-Rabbi Shmuel, ha'nu d'tnan, ha'shochev v'nisnavu b'yadu ha'nocher ma'aker patur melechasos. Alu Rabbi Akiva, my patur melechasos. Right? That's an unbelievable line in the Gemara. I mean, the Gemara wants to know whether, why nechira b'zman hazeh, right, doesn't require kisui adam. After all, in the time of the Midbar, nechira was, you know, was not only mutter, but I'm assuming the Gemara's question is based on the line, nechirasa zui shchitasa. Right? So the Gemara thought two things. It sounds like two things. Number one, that bizman hamidbar, when it was mutter, nechirasa zui shchitasa. And then the Gemara thought further that that continues to have, again, getting in the, back to the Drosh v'Kabel Schar and when is history history, and what changed and how do we look at the change, how do we look at the before and how do we look at the after. The Gemara is assuming that the change didn't change that enough. In other words, even Bizman HaZeh Nechiraso, you know, is Shchitaso, maybe it's not enough, we upgraded the level of Shchita that you require. But Nechira still has Chalos, has a Mamad, all the way back. That has to be the Havamir of the Gemara. Unless the Gemara just thinks that anything that you used to be able to eat requires Kisei Adam. Maybe. That's less likely, I would say. That's a Kisei Adam issue. Mm-hmm. But then the Gemara gives the answer. Right? The Gemara says, no. Hold the Itzar, Itzar. But there are probably two ways to read that line. One is, you know, Bizman HaZeh, Nechira is Nevela, Gemura. Right? That's at minimum what it means. Or does it also mean, like, you know, on the contrary, you know, we don't take it so literally when we say nechiraso zui shchitaso. What we mean is that it was, you know, it was mutter lechol, as opposed to, you know, mesa, meileha, or nitrifa, you know, ayadei behema, you know, acher. You know, but we don't really mean, you know, that it has a chalos, you know, that it's not in the veil at all. We don't mean that. If we meant that, then you'd be right, but we don't mean that. Oh. Maybe that's even the transition in the Gemara. Although, so then the next line of the Gemara is, or the few lines after that, right, is by Rabbi Yirmiya. So, if you think that Basar Nechira is, you know, is Nechiraso Zuhi Shchitaso, it's a much stronger case to be made, you know, for the notion that, you know, you did shchita in its time. This is chapter shall, you know, basar, you know, roi or chazi lachila, because you did a nechira on it. You know, so what's the big deal? You know, it's excellent food, you know, to put on the, you know, best Rosenblum shelf, you know, right there, premium, you know, Shabbos meat, you know, and all of a sudden you can't eat it, and there's Israel. Like, what's that all about? Nothing happened. It's the same meat. Right? But if you hold that Nechira is a matir, and it's Mishum Taiva, like the Ramban, or that there's a huge contrast, even in the Midbar, even according to Rabbi Akiva, between Shchita and Nechira, let me say it this way. Bishlam, according to all the other Rishonim, that the Heter Nechira, you know, doesn't affect Shchita. So you could say, well, there are two, you know, there's a Shchita and there's a Nechiraso, and there's a Nechira which is not Shchita, but it's Mutter. But the better thing to say might be that in the Midbar, right, Nechira and Shchita, Nechira is a form of Shchita, and of course you could do real Shchita, that would even be better. Right? But of all Rishonim, according to the Rambam, right, that's not what's happening, especially if our Diyukim are correct. What's really, really happening, not even the way the Ramban read the Rambam, but the way we're reading the Rambam, what really happened was part of the problem of Shchita b'Midbar is precisely the fact that it would be equated to Nechira. Right? You can't do Shchita if you can do Nechira. Therefore, Shchita has to be reserved for Kadshim. Meaning, we're not celebrating the Chira. We're not upgrading the Chira. I mean, it's more upgraded than, again, Basar Trefa or Basar Shemesa, right? But not, it's not Nechiraso Zuri Shkitaso. It's certainly not the equivalent in the Midbar. It's not that we changed the Hagdara of Nevela after Matan Torah, you know, and before that, this is Basar, you know, Sheomed LaAchila. So, if that's the case, given that that's the pshat in the Rambam, so the whole, you know, this idea that it would affect Kisui, or this idea that now, you know, you come into Eretz Yisrael, and, the, you know, what's wrong with this basar? Right? The answer is no. You know, we were matir, a form of nevela, lower form of nevela in the Midbar, and now we're in Eretz Yisrael. Why should it be mutter? Right? So that may be, together with the fact that the Rambam anyways felt, you know, that, you know, there's no such din, you know, that you're just allowed to, you know, believe dochak. So maybe that's why the Rambam, I guess these are several suggestions why the Rambam omitted that halacha. And the last one in particular, I think, is Lashitaso, the way he understands Nechira in the Midbar. Again, how he read, at what point in the Gemara he read the transition. Maybe it's at the Kisui Adam point, or that's his reading of Kisui Adam part. Yeah?
I mean, I think it is possible, it's not Mokras, but it's possible to even read the Rambam himself. I mean,
yeah.
But the Rambam might mean when he says that, which is that, wrote to Limp or Left, hold on, Midbar, and Yoko Loka, which is the way in the habit of those, held in Minbar, Bavad, the East, Heter, and Nahira, he might just be saying that, not just that there was the ability to do an Nahira, but Minbar, but there was only the ability to be Ochel, and he did Nahira, but Minbar, and then Kishi, Yef, Nasu, Beres, Israel, and it's so good.
I mean, this is way of weighing in on the safek. Right, I'm just saying, in the Gemara, it's a safek.
Yeah.
So the Rambam could have said,
you might be being poshet the safek, exactly like this.
Right. Well, I don't think it's any much of a difference between being poshet the safek, frankly, and saying this is not a serious safek. Right. But for the same reason. You're saying that line might even mean,
you might just think that includes it. Once
right.
You right. Israel,
right. Very good. Yeah. Again, it doesn't change it now. It helps it now. Okay. So that is that's what I wanted to say with regard to the with regard to the Rambam. And again, we'll speak soon. I'll mention this Perushim Mishnayos just very quickly. But the Rambam in Perushim Mishnayos, as we know, in his Hakdama to Zraim, you know, where he outlines, you know, the order of all the Masechtas. Again, it's, you know, it's very striking that, you know, he notes something that is true, and that is that Chulin is in Seder Kodshim. Again, the Meiri has a comment where he said that in the time of the Gaonim, I think, you know, that they used to put Chulin with Yane, you know, Arachayim, basically, because, you know, they put Nida with, you know, Dine Yishus, and they put Chulin with Inyani Arachayim, you know, because they were necessary halacha l'maisa, and people had to learn them. Okay, that's more of a practical comment. But the Rambam basically points out that, you know, well, this is in Sefer Kachim, but it's not just in Sefer Kachim, it's smack in the middle of Sefer Kachim. You have, you know, Zvachim and Menachos, which are the most intense, you know, Kodshe Kadashim, pretty much, etc. And then you have Chulin, and then you have Bechoros, you know, and Tmura, and all those other things. So, A, what's it doing here? And B, why is it, you know, why is it right in the middle? So the Rambam says, well, you know, it's really following the Psukim. Because if you look in Parshas Re'eh, you know, first you have a discussion of Kachim, and then you have the references to Chulin, and then you have Bechor. It's a little bit Tamua, a little Tamua, because the Psukim that the Rambam quotes in Parshas Re'eh, again, it turns out that the Shechita Pasuk, Shechita Sfulim Pasuk, is the Pasuk Tezvav, not the Pasuk Kavbeis. I mean, it's the one that the Rashbam and the Ibn Ezra, you know, claim is Pasuk Taiba or Shechita Sfulim, not the one that the Rambam himself quotes in Perek Aleph of Shechita. Okay, but in the end of the day, I think it's not so bad. Remember that the Rambam, part of our discussion, is that the Rambam also quotes, you know, Bechor, you know, Balmut. So in Perushim Mishnayos, he's basically quoting the pasuk that the Sifrei says is about, you know, psulei hamukdashim. Either way, in the end of the day, what is the Rambam saying? You can blame it on the psukim, but that just kind of, you know, passes the, you know, that begs the question. You know, it just, you know, pushes the question back. So why did the Torah do this? You know, and in such a way that, you know, the organizers of the Mishnayos, you know, went along with it. But if you hold that Shkitas Chulin comes from the world of Shkitas Kadshim, and even in its evolution, right, the Shkitas Kadshim part, you know, in terms of the Rambam's read on Shkutei Chutz, you know, in terms of Baisa Shkita, you know, that you know, played a role even in the phases, you know, phasing it in, and the, you know, its actual, you know, trajectory, you know, as an institution, then it's really, you know, perfect. You have hardcore Kadshim, right, and then you have Shkitas Chulin. You know, and the Shkitas Chulin, you know, is followed by, you know, lighter Kadshim, in a way. So, what the Rambam says in Pirush Mishnayos works very nicely. It could be, that's why I wanted to see the Gemara on Beis of Beis, it could be that this is related to what the Gemara is talking about here on Beis of Beis, but the Gemara has the whole discussion, I hope people already saw the first daf, that, you know, why the Mishnah is written the way that it's written. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabba Bar Ula Hachik Tani Akol Shoktin Afilu Tamei Bechulin. So the Gemara, Tamei Bechulin Maila Memra. What do you mean Tamei Bechulin? What is Tamei Bechulin? So the Gemara says, Bechulin Shanasu Al Taras HaKodesh. Okay, that's again an interesting topic. We'll try not to get too bogged down with it, but definitely want to say something about it. But Tuma Shanchulin Shanasu Al Taras HaKodesh is the Kasavar Chulin Shanasu Al Taras HaKodesh is Kekodesh Dami. So, of course, Chulin Shanasu Al Taras HaKodesh to be the first topic in Masechet or reference of the Mishnah in Masechet Chulin, right, which is after Zvachim and Menachos, which according to the Rambam, you know, Kasher Tzivisicha, you know, and everything else, and Bechor Bamum, and maybe even Psulei HaMukdashim, and, you know, the Midbar, and again, the, you know, the Chaya, all the things that we've been talking about. So how good is that? You know, that Masechet Chulin, the first Mishnah, is a kind of obliquely, you know, referring to a, it's not the typical case. Most cases of Shkitas Chulin are not cases of Chulin Shanasu Al Taras HaKodesh. Right, so why would that even be? The answer is it's a, you know, a Chulin, it's a Shkitas Chulin in the context of a quasi, you know, Kedusha. Ketzad Uose, maybe Sakin Aruka, the Shochet Bokedesh Layiga Babasar. Ubim Mukdashim Layishkot Shema Yiga Babasar. We were more Machmir in real Kadshim than we are in Chulin Shanasu Al Taras HaKodesh. Bim Shacha Drummer Bari Shalom Nagati, even in Kadshim Shkitaso Ksheira. Chutz Mecher Shoto Bekata. Afilu Bechulin Grede Dieve Nami Lo. Shema Yishu, Shema Yidrusu, Shema Yachlidu. Fine. Bekulin Sheshachtu Ahaya. And so on. So the Gemara says, okay, it's about Tami Bechulin, Ha'amris L'chatchil Anami Shachet, Ela Tami B'mukdashim, B'bari L'isagi, and then the Gemara says, come on, then the Shaila, we'll get to that. So the Gemara says, Hai Tami B'mukdashim, Me'acha Nafka, Me'asim Nafka. This din of Tami B'mukdashim, okay, not only is it just like a, you know, rare case, I mean, again, you don't just assume when you read the Mishnah about Shkitas Chulin, you talk about, you know, Tamei B'Mukdashim, or some facsimile of it. Not only that, there's another makar. Kol Psum Sheshachtu Shkitasan Ksheira, Shashkita Ksheira B'Zarim, B'Nashim, B'Avadim, B'Tmeim, right, V'Afila B'Kadshe Kadashim, B'Vachu Tmeim, Nogim B'Basar. So it's even superfluous. Says the Gemara, Hacha Ikar, Hasam Ayd D'Tano Shar Psulim, Tananami Tamei B'Mukdashim. Iba Yisema, Hasam Ikar, the B'Kadshim Kai, Hacha Ayd D'Tani Tamei B'Kulin, Taninami Tame B'Mukdashim. Okay, so our 2 days in the Gemara, like what's the best place for an oblique reference, not only to Chulin Shanasu Al Taras HaKodesh, what's the best, you know, place for this oblique implication about, you know, actually Kadshim itself to be? Here in Masechet Chulin or in its place? Okay. So, by the way, that gets us practically to B'chalo Karev, right? Karev K'chal. Anyways, the point is that, again, you could just, you know, it's you could dismiss all of this if you want. I can't imagine why you would want. And say, Rebbe, in putting together the Mishnah, he had these, that's true, for sure, he had multiple agendas. And, somebody recently told me that there's this theory that the order of the Mishnayos have to do with the number of prakim or something. I said, okay, that's interesting. And then he said, oh, but I heard you that, when I gave a shir in the Masechet Yevamos, which was like every year, depends what I'm learning, that I said, oh, why is this whole explanation why Yibum, is actually at the beginning of Ishus, because it underscores Kedushas, Kedushas Ishus in a way that other things don't. I said, no, it's just because of the number of prakim. So, yeah, I'm sure there are multiple agendas. Even those people agree that there are exceptions to the rule. Once there are exceptions to the rule, then, all bets are off. Moreover, clearly, Rambam and Meiri, they took these questions seriously. You could say, oh, they were historically wrong. It doesn't make a difference. It exercised and pushed them right to evaluate some of these relationships, and the insights that they imparted, are consistent with their worldviews of the topics. So this is a great example, aside from the fact that they just may be right. I hope they're right. In the end of the day, it doesn't really matter to me so much, although I think that it's likely they're right, especially once there are exceptions and there are multiple agendas. But in the end of the day, the insights that they came up with, are basically, approved by them, and reflect their understanding of the topics. That's an invaluable window, for us. So anyways, so this whole discussion of the Gemara and the discussion of the Rambam are just all things that fit in, I think, with the bigger questions that we have been discussing. Okay. We still have to discuss other things. Again, Natan brought to my attention an interesting Ramban, which we'll leave for now, but maybe we'll discuss next week, on Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Also, I did want to discuss originally, but I just don't have time right now. We'll get it in. The question of Kavana, especially Kavana and Shkita, and the relationship again between Shkitas Chulin and Shkitas Kachim. And again, the Ramban and Daf Lamed Aleph, and the Ramban and Rosh Hashanah and Mochambos, in the context of Mitzvah Shrikas Kavana, discusses this question. And it's interesting as an application of the question, to what extent Shkita is a mitzvah. If it's a mitzvah, so is the kavana the mitzvah strichas kavana lekula or lechomra, or is it something else? And if it's not, is there something? Even though there are differences between kavana in shchitas chulin and shchitas kachim, and that's one of the things that the Bach underscored, right? When he wanted to explain, that they are two things, but we think that for the Rambam and for Ramban that they're really more one than two. So we know there are differences, but is there overlap? Meaning, does the fact that they're that misasek bekadshim, and so on, that you need kavanas shkita bekadshim, does that spill over at all into shkitas chulat? So this is an important question, and of course, there are more of the brachos related questions that we have to discuss here as well, the question of chinuch and katan and omid al gabav. Also, is there mitzvah shkita legabe those issues? As well, yeah.
Some of the Achronim speculate that the Heter Nechira didn't occur at Matan Torah, but was only introduced Achar Hakamas HaMishkan. And between Matan Torah and Hakamas HaMishkan, there was a normal rule of Shechita that there would have been no Heter Nechira.
Who says that?
The only Yosef.
Maybe that's that same piece that one I never saw, but I saw it quoted.
Yeah, right. It's Simon and Gimel, the first one in your day.
So it's probably something that should be looked at. Yeah. Okay.
So does Rabbi's Mahal Rabbi has for the Rambam, would that have an effect on how we view this time period of between Hakamas Mishkan?
The Rambam does say, the Rambam's take seems like a little bit different. Mm-hmm. Does he say that in the Rambam?
I don't know.
The Rambam has this other Chiddush, as we pointed out, where the Rambam says, it sounds like in the Rambam there was an earlier phase in the Midbar where they were eating Kakal HaGayim. It doesn't say that in the Gemara, it only says that in the Rambam. right? Then there was the Rabbi Akiva phase, you know, which was more complex than it's presented in the Gemara. And then there's the Eretz Yisrael phase. So is there a phase of Matan Torah till the Midbar, till that first phase? It's hard for me to believe that in the Rambam. I don't know whether that can't be true, you know, for other Mepharshim.
Kippat Mechira has a higher status of like a chalos or a quasi-chalos, therefore would have been shayach even before a chalos.
Maybe. If you hold Nechirasan, what I'm suggesting is that the Rambam doesn't hold of Nechirasan Zuishkitasan, you know, maybe the Melitza to interpret the words of the Pasuk, you know, but he thinks, you know, once the Gemara says, not Pisli Adam, they don't mean just, oh, not Mikano Lahaba or Latid, it also means not even Afrei, and I'm suggesting that's also why he's so certain that, you know, together with his other point, that this Safek, you know, the Gemara is not. So in the Rambam, I think it's hard to say that, but I don't think it's impossible. I think it's an intriguing idea. Okay. A couple of more points just very quickly. So Kavanah we'll get back to in the Ramban and Laman Aleph, the one in Yud Aleph, and the one in Rosh Hashanah. We'll get back to all that stuff, hopefully. Tani brought to my attention a couple of things I just want to share very quickly before we continue with Rashi, the Ramban, the Rajba, and the Ran to try to get complete all this. Three things very quickly. One is that the Shiltos in Kuf Kavdal, do you have it, the language? Okay. What?
I can't say.
Yeah, you know it by heart. You memorized all the Shiltos. Yeah, go ahead. Well, you get man the boy. Nice. Okay, so that just sounds like a focus on the mat here, that part of it. I don't think it's so much about that. I think you have another people as well. But I think what is particularly interesting is Shenemar. Yeah. So the Shultos only quotes the pasuk of the Slav story, right? In Bamidbar, which the Gemara does quote here on Dav Gimel, on Dav Yud Zayin. We're way past that one, Yud Zayin already. On Yud Zayin Amid Aleph, but that's when the Gemara says Nechirasa Zuish Kitaso, it's in response to Hatzon Vabakari Shachet Lahem, correct? Yeah. The Netziv, I asked you at the time, like does the Netziv comment about that? Right? Did you check it? So does he?
Yeah.
He originally tries to dismiss it, and then he says, oh, it's because the Shiltos thought that there's no Raya, that Vizavachta. Like, why didn't he just, ask the question, that it's a, why didn't he just say Vizavachta V'yachalta? Right? What did he say? Either that, don't take it so seriously, he's writing, you know, he wants to keep his son out of trouble, you know, and it's Parshas Baloska, you know, so this is, you know, okay. Or
would you think you wouldn't
know that Shkita? Zvicha.
That you wouldn't know Zvicha, that
it's Tzavar by Chulin. Yeah, maybe Zvicha, Bechulin, you know, is never Shkita. That's what he says, right? So it's a very interesting discussion, and that's it. You should just be aware of it. Again, it's particularly fascinating that the Makar would come from the situation in the Midbar for two reasons. Number one, I mentioned that Aruch Chaim, who says everything going on in the Midbar is all, you know, that's a bubble. That's all the exception. That's all because of the fact that they were Misabin, that they, you know, they, you know, were already tarnished by their, you know, meat obsession. We talked about it, about the man and then so on and so forth. So the idea that the actual makar for shkita would be from Midbar is fascinating. You know, that was a whole different situation. If you think that, you know, what happened in the Midbar was characteristic, then on the contrary, that would be a good, you know, an interesting. All I'm pointing out is that A, it's mechudash, B, it's either very appealing or very unappealing, depending on how you look at the Midbar story, which is exactly what we have been discussing. And three, that the Netziv has a little discussion, you know, there about the Hagdara of Shkita in Kachim and in Chulin, and whether that would be identical or not. Yeah?
I mean,
If the old bear be small, right, then
yeah.
It's not talking about Kulin, it's only talking about...
Yeah, he talks about it. The Tziv goes back and forth, you know, according to Abikiva, according to Abishmal, right? Yeah, so you'll look it up. Again, I don't want to go bogged down on it, but it's a very interesting point. The other two points that Tani brought to my attention, both of which are very good, what is the Gemara in... we were talking about whether or not, you know, the Heter Basar Taiva, or the Isur Basar Taiva, how does that fit with the idea of Lo Dibra Torah Ela Keneged Yetzer Hara? The truth is that the Rajba, also Daf Yud Beis, speaks about this issue. We should be aware of that, put it on the record. We should talk about that, but not right now. But the Rajba Yud Beis also talks about that. But it also is connected to the language of the Gemara on Chaf Aleph. You know that one by heart too?
Yeah.
Okay. Like, you know, yeah. So Shultuses and Zaka Kedushin or the entire Talmud? I'll see about Shabbos in a minute. Okay, go ahead. What does it say? Mutav Sheyochel Yisrael. I mean, if you say you know it by heart, you should really. Mutav Sheyochel Yisrael Basar Tamusos. Go ahead. Tmusos Nevelos. So again, it's interesting. And again, the Rajba on Yud Beis also quotes this. This is like a bit of a double-edged sword. Why is it a double-edged sword? Natan? I mean, again, it connects the idea of distinguishing between Shchita, Achilas Basar Shchuta, even the Mesukan, the way Rashi understands it, right? Like you have this meat and it's, you know, it's not exactly attractive, you know, it's this dying animal. decaying, you know, before your eyes, but better to eat that than, you know, than Batzer Nevelos, even a healthy animal, Batzer Nevelos, let's say. So that's connected in the Gemara to Dibra Torah Keneged Yetzara. So it brings in the question of, you know, limitations, you know, and Haterim, you know, Keneged Yetzara into the discussion of Shchita, Shchutos versus Nevelos. What impact would that have on the way that we look at, you know, restricting Basar Taiva or Dafka being Matir, even Basar Nechira, the Midbar, which, as I mentioned, at least for the Ramban, is an expression of Hetiru Keneged Taiva. The Ran and others don't see it that way, but the Ramban does. So this is an interesting question. Let's say the Rajban Yud Beis. So that should be aware of that. But even more importantly is another thing that brought to my attention is the Rabbi Yosef Engel and his Beis Otzar. Beis Otzar is an encyclopedic work that the Rabbi Yosef Engel began. I'm not sure how far he got. Did he get past Beis or in the middle of Beis?
I heard he finished it, but it was destroyed in World War II.
Oh, really? Wow. So we only have Beis, right? Two Beis? So he started writing like this encyclopedia on his own, which is like... quite remarkable. So again, in Os Aleph, Ayin Zayin, Enis Rechaliser, so he has a very fascinating discussion, which Tani brought to my attention, about the nature of Nevela and Trefa, which is dovetails a lot with some of the issues that we have been discussing. So he doesn't quote, you know, the Ramban and the Sfarnu, and, you know, the Psukim question, namely, the fact that the Psukim in Shemos and in Devarim seem to link both Nevela in Devarim and Trefa in Shemos with, you know, Anshe Kodesh Yilachem or with Kedusha rather than with Tiyuv or so much Iser. That he doesn't quote at all. But he does discuss this question in light of two things. Number one, the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Kesav and Aleph. That's like his main Makor, which is interesting because it's a bit of a interesting Gemara, but a questionable one. What does it say in Kuf Kes? This by Tusi had like a discussion with.
Why is Nevela or Nevelos is not a problem with Matir Beficha?
Yeah, you can't write tefillin on or of a Basar Behema, right? Because B'mutarlak has to be something which you're allowed to eat, correct? But the same Gemara says explicitly that you can write tefillin on the or of nevela or treifa. Right? So he said the baitusi, you know, he wasn't even a tzaduki, he was a baitusi, right? So he asked this question. So what was the answer to the question? If a person is executed, one person is executed by the executioner, the other person is executed by the king, like who's more chashuv? Interesting question, actually. The assumption in the Gemara is that who's more chashuv? The person who's executed by the king. Ah. Correct? And therefore, what's the point? Exactly. So that's a bit of a strange Gemara. But either way, what the Gemara basically says is, what emerges from the Gemara is that there's a difference between Behemoth Tmeya, right, and the Vela, in terms of the status or stature of the Iser, Legabe, you know, it's Kashrus in writing Tefillin. Okay. Actually, Tosas Alatar, and he talks about this from Joseph Engel. You saw that, Tani? Tosas Alatar says, well, if that's what you're going to say, then maybe you should be with Halig. Between Basar Nechila and Nechira and Mesa Meileha. I mean, why did it say Mesa Meileha? That's the highest level. Because Rabbeinu Shlomo really did kill that animal. Or, you know, again, he just, you know, died in his rocking chair. But, you know, that's not really true, you know, in Nechira. Right? What it's supposed to say? I mean, the pasuk says Otocho kol nevela, so you've got to go by the whole thing. So the higher grade, I guess, or the less objectionable, or stigmatized, or taboo esque, you know, macholas asuros of mesa me'aleha is meida, right? Al the whole category, and that's good. That's the way it is. Correct? By the way, just Agav, I think it's interesting in light of Tosas and Sanhedrin and Vav Amud Beis, you know, view that, you know, even Adam HaRishon was allowed to eat Basar Shemesa Me'eleha, where though we talked about that, you know, the Rishonim already seemed to argue, you know, about whether it's a difference if another animal is Toreif and if another person is Toreif, what about the Malachim being, you know, killing. But either way, the idea that there, you know, that Mesa may allow is a less objectionable, you know, kind of a thing is fascinating. But on the other hand, just to contrast it, you know, in the Midbar, especially if you say Nechirasan Zuhi Shkitasan, so then Nechira is better than Mesa may allow, because that's a form of Shkita, maybe. Right? Anyways, that's an interesting discussion. But where Yosef Engel, what he wanted to get from it, is what idea? That nevela is not as much a toeva as other macholos asuros. Again, if you were to quote the psukim and the svarno there and the Ramban even by treifa, that would certainly reinforce this idea. But his bigger idea is the following: there's a debate among the rishonim. I think I mentioned this already also, whether macholos asuros in general are yisurei chefetz or yisurei gavra. That's a general debate. 2 days in Tshuvas HaRajba. The Ritva typically doesn't think it's Nisra Chafza, but there are Rajbas that do. And it's like a very popular topic in the Achronim, as you can only imagine. And they're Nafkamina, of course. Can you be Matfis the Macholas Asuros, say Zukazu? Is it like a Davra Nadur or a Davra Asur? Do you treat it like a Shvua or like a Neder? So, Yosef Engel, Shai will be interested in this, is interested in this context in the following, you know, specific problem. Ein Iser Chal Al Iser. We know the Gemara that says, Ha'ochel Nevela B'Yom HaKippurim. Right? So we already discussed, when we talked about that Gemara, we talked about the question of Ein Zavuach, I think we mentioned the problem, you know, that Yom Kippur mostly seems to be an Iser Gavra. Not that, you know, all of a sudden Yom Kippur, you know, everything turns into Macholos Asuros. So, is there any Iser Chal Iser, you know, when we're talking about an Iser Gavra, right? That's what you asked me, Chai, right? So it seems like the answer probably is yes. Anyways, the Ritva in Kiddushin understood the whole sugya of Ochel Nevela B'Yom HaKippurim, you know, as being focused in the opposite way of most Rishonim. Most Rishonim say that what happens is, you know, there's Nevela, and now it's Yom Kippur. And when we talk about Enes HaKalisa, we're talking about Yom Kippur not being Chal on Nevela. And that's a question. Why not? You know, B'Chayim, you know, Nisnavla B'Yom, all the things that we discussed already we don't need to get back into. The Ritva, however, in Kiddushin says, no, that's not what's going on. It's the opposite. The question isn't whether you're chayiv for Yom Kippur. The question is, are you chayiv for Nevela? Like, if it comes Nevela on Yom Kippur, that's also part of his answer to this question. Right? It's this Nevela B'Yom Kippur. So the point is, he was originally Yom Kippur, and the question is, are you Aser Mishum Nevela? Not whether you're chayiv Mishum Yom Kippur. Oh. Says the Rabbi Yosef Engel, well, I don't get that, because if you hold that macholos asuros are nisar chafza, so isn't the nisar chafza chal al gabe an isar gavra? After all, neder is chal on top of the shvua, because it's an isar chafza, and the shvua is only an isar gavra. So if you hold the macholos asuros are isure chafza, and if the issue of Yom Kippur and Nevela is about Nevela being chal on Yom Kippur, not vice versa. So you had an Isra Gabra, now you have an Isra Chavtza, so it should be chal no matter what. So he says, well, for the Ritva, it's not such a big deal, because the Ritva happens to be insistent in a lot of places that Macholas Asura is Ali Surai Gabra. So there's no problem. However, says Rabbi Yosef Engel, this is where it gets exciting. He says, however, in my opinion, I want to tell you my big Chiddush, and that is that based on this Gemara in Shabbos, I think that even if other macholos asuros are iser chefza, the vela is an iser gavra, and that's why you can write tefillin on the or of a trefa and of a nevela, because they flow from kedusha. They're not isur chefza. That's his big chiddush. Lemay nafkamina. Number one, atzvasa. Right. Number two, can you write again tefillin on it? Number three, Enes HaChal Iser. One second. What else? He has other nafkamina. We'll tell you in a minute. Just give me a blanking for a second. Oh, this is how he answers Tosis's question, by the way. Like Tosis said, oh, but you know, what are you going to do? Why don't you just say it's the Gemara is limited to Mesa Me'alah? So he says, no, it's the what the Gemara means is that Nevela is not an Isur Chafza, just an Isur Gavra. You know, that prize across the board. Okay. Then he points out there's an interesting Tshuvas HaRashba, which doesn't quote where it is, but Aleph Taf Lamed Test, where the Rashba seems to say that Nevela has its own Mokar for Chatzi Shir. Right? Again, in light of our discussion of the Prima Gadim about Eina Zavuach and its Chatzishir, this becomes actually an interesting question. But again, Rabbi Yosef Engel's take on it is, why does the Rajba think you need a separate Makar for, you know, Chatzishir of Nevela? Again, Prima Gadim was saying, because it isn't Chatzishir, or might answer you, because it's really Eina Zavuach and there's no Shir and so on. But Rabbi Yosef Engel says, listen, he argues, Chazilit Starufe, which is the basis for Chatzi Shir, the Gemara in Yoma. So that makes sense when you have an Isur Chafza, right? But if you have an Isur Gavra, then maybe you don't, you know, think that Chatzi Shir is awesome. That's his argument. So he says, oh, that's why you need a separate Makar for Nevela, because it's different than all Macholos Asuros. So that's another Nafkamina. And then he has a suggestion also that, you know, there seems to be a separate makar that allows Nevela and Trefa to combine for a Shir Shalem based on, if we eat both, you know, Kedei Achilas Pratz. So he's bothered. Why would you have that? After all, we have this rule generally, again, Kol Shetiavti in Parshas Re'eh, what we already discussed. Namely, when you eat a combination of different macholos asuros, kol shetiavti, it combines. So he says, that's because, you know, we're dealing normally with toeva, with an isur chafza. But when it comes to Nevela and Trefa, they're not an Isur Chafetza. They're just a function of Kedushas Yisrael. So there, it shouldn't combine. Personally, I think another point might be that Nevela and Trefa, you know, may all be related to the Chiyuv and the Heter of Shechita. Right? We talked about Rav Elbel, especially for Trefa, but even Nevela, to some extent, are Mavram and Rambam, and everything that we've been saying. You know, so there might be an alternative, although one which actually is connected, you know, to the same kind of an issue. Now, the truth is, his whole analysis, again, just, you know, completely reinforces what we've been talking about, but I don't think you have to go as far as he does, meaning whether or not, you know, Macholos Asura, whether or not all Macholos Asuras are Isur Chafetza and the Velas and Isur Gavra, that's a pretty radical difference. Even if they were all Isurei Chafetza, and even if they were all Isurei Gavra, right, the basic Yisod that Nevela and Trefa are different is something that has been reinforced by the things that we've been discussing. On the other hand, on the other side of it, in the end, he gets kind of cold feet, and he says, yeah, but it's probably not all correct. Maybe the Shakla Vitaria and the Gemara is just, you know, to answer the Baitusi, you know. Why? What really bothered him, interestingly enough, number one was the Gemara in Kiddushim Chavala from the base. Sounds like in the Gemara in Chavala from the base, that Nevela is, you know, even a Shechita of, you know, Mesukenis, you know, is preferable to the despicable, you know, Nevela. Sounds like Nevela is pretty despicable. Moreover, this intrigues me way more. You see it, Tani? Doesn't that mean that it intrigued you more, way more? He says, my thing that really bothers me, or I think what really bothered him, and this is something we need to talk about, so I'm doing this, not just to give you more information. All these issues are highlighting of what we've been doing. He says, what really troubles me about saying that Nevela is not an Isur Toeva is the fact that it's Metame, you know, that Nevela is Metame. Mistame. The fact that there's Tumas Nevela, there's not Tumas, Basar Shenek Sheiram per se. Is the fact that there's Tumas Nevela, doesn't that really point to the fact that it's, you know, a Toeva? So I think the answer might be no. Might be, yeah. In some respect, Nevela is worse and generates tumah, that's for the world of Kadshim in a way, because of the, you know, the possibility that you had of turning it into a Davar Shebikdusha. So I actually think, but I think that's a fascinating issue. And in connection with that, so let me just transition to one other point. In the end of the Parsha of Shkutei Chutz, which we're going to speak more about in a couple of minutes, there's a strange pasuk. Namely, who's the Baal Kori? Everybody saw the Parsha of Shkutei Chutz because we've been doing it. I don't know who's the, I mean, Shua used to be Baal Kori, and who are the Baalei Kriya of the year? Not that you're about Corin?
Yeah.
No. Josh, you're about Corin? What? Yeah, but before what's more? I mean, those are the words. That's great. Okay, good.
The whole pasuk or the one before that?
Both. The whole end of the coda, the end of the parsha of Shkutei Chutz, for some inexplicable reason is, read the pasukim, Josh. Whoa. Right? I mean, what's the whole parsha talking about? Two topics, which we know are totally interrelated. What are the two topics that are totally interrelated? Ellie? Shkutei Chutz. What did you say about Chulin?
Yeah.
Or Chulin in the Midbar, you said.
Yeah.
Because you're a Rashi Rambam. That's great. Ramban. Oh, a Torah kind of a person. Fine. Explicitly, the Parsha, Perek and Zion, is about Shkutei Chutz in one form or another. And what does it transition into? you can't miss it. I mean, what does it transition into? What? To us, Mikdash? That's at the very end. That's what we're talking about. Before we get to the end, what's the parsha about? If you had to give, like, you know, bullets, shchut
echolitz. To myself, the base of Leah.
That's the drasha. Who said that? Hoshai. Okay. But before I should have passed it. What? No, Veltraf is what I'm pointing to in the end. Before you get to the end, it's just all mixed up with dam, right? The Isra Vachila's dam. How's the psuki? Anybody have it up there? It's at the end. This is the end. This is pasuk tesvav tazayin. What do you have? Kisama far kedavish kala dam b'dashin. No, the psukim that we read in Re'ei. And in there you go. Up and down. There's so much dam there, you can't miss it. Right? Dam and kisuya dam, and dam is if you eat the dam, you're a murderer, and you know, or you're going to be a murderer, or like this is like a major dam focus, right? So you have shchut echutz, dam, and then for some inexplicable reason, in the very end, you have a reference to Tumas, Nevela, and Trefa, which are no se alvon. It's just a non sequitur. Like, what's it doing there? Right? So some of the farshim speak about it. Rashi says it's talking about Shai?
Tumas of Tahar.
Nevelas of Tahar, right, which is Metame Bebes Ablia, right? And it's the Trefa is Lavdafka. Meaning the psukim are, Rashi's having a tough time, Chazal had a tough time with these psukim, just what are they even talking about, what does it mean? Correct? The Ibn Ezra says, oh, it's connected to the, because we mentioned Chai and Ov, which are not Kravim, you know, so therefore we talk about this Nevela. In the end, if you have a line in the Ramban, it doesn't matter. The Sfarno has a, Rashi, Ibn Ezra, Sfarno, they all take a stab at it. The common denominator is, like, what are these psukim doing here and what are they even referring to? Okay? The Ramban, interestingly enough, this is like bread and butter for the Ramban. He doesn't say a word. Right? In my opinion, this is like a deafening silence. It's always hard, you know, to argue from silence, but, I mean, this is what the Ramban does. You know, for a living, for a... free time. This is what he does. Right? And he's silent. He's quiet. There's so much talk, we'll see in a moment, about the dam and the kisuya dam, you know, in the Ramban, and about the shchut echutz part. And all of a sudden, these two psukim that stick out, you just don't even know what they are. Why are they here? What are they referring to? It's shocking. There are some, like, shocking things like that. Like, you know, the... in Emor, you know, the presence of, you know, Peah. You know, and like a chicopea in the end of the book. It's just strange. What's it doing there? Okay. The Netziv has an interesting comment where he says, Lefi Pshat, Josh, where are you? He's the Netziv expert. He says, like, I want to tell you what I think is the Pshat. He says, I know that Chazal say this is about Nevelas of Tahar, Tamid Bebes Ablia. But he says, I think, and it's not really true, Lahalacha, but it sounds like what the Pesukim are saying is that if you eat Nevela Sof Tamei and you do tshuva, right, you need to be tovel begufu begadim, because it's metamtem your lev and it's going to be mosif, you know, katan. You have it? Like the last one in the parsha. What? That's okay. You look it up. Meaning the Netziv says, he says that even though you know, this is a very strange thing. Like, if you eat machalas asuros, you have to be tovel? He says, you don't really have to, but... You got it? Go ahead. You did your due diligence on the Netziv. Like, it's not just not to the end. Like, there was an implicit accusation the other day that we didn't give it... the Shloman part enough of a... Go ahead. The last piece, though. Hadrasha du'a the karbitumas mikdash v'kadasha. Meaning, the simple, what's v'nasav ono? If you're tamei and you enter into the mikdash or you eat kadshim, then v'nasav ono. He says, however, v'lefiyah pshat, the misha achal b'macholos asur, he says macholos asuros, roi b'hagiyo l'tshuva litval atzmo u'begadav. Roi, kim b'vur b'ovus rab nasa. Right? B'riva sh'nishpeis b'nagoyim b'kish ha'padu tziva. Right, lit balosa mishum sheachla macholas asuros miu nebelas behema efsher lios bishgaga shol nishul gav kein treifa efsher shenodach kashi treifa aval nevela utreifa kamoshe prior that's in a previous piece he says it's a nevela treifa mishum hach abil kishum shav ton tvila b'shinui begada b'letahara v'im lois or lazeb and asav and onat mikdash v'kadasha the machal iser metamteim the gorim lachto lahaba etc. Okay, Ikar Zohar is a pasuk. Okay, fine. The point I'm trying to make is, maybe the Ramban liked it because this is all about, according to Ramban, shechita and the opportunity to and dam. Right, it's all about the right way. To you know, the avoidance of and the right way to actually accomplish, right? Achilas basar, and the extra chiyuvim you have, the expansion. Again, we'll see in a moment. The Ramban in his Perush Ala Torah certainly likes Rashi pshat in Rabbi Yishmael. Maybe the Chut Echutz isn't limited to Kadshim. The Ramban goes so far as to say, as we know, that if from Pshuto Shel Mikra, right, it says Mamachane, and it says Chutz Lamachane, says the Ramban, actually, the Psukim really sound like they're not only speaking about Kachin. Like the Rashi it doesn't say like the Rashi, but, again, in his Chidushim here, which we'll discuss a few more points just in a second, The Ramban initially rejects Rashi, right? Embraces the Balitosis, and then he says, "But I found other evidence, the Medrash, and in the Perush Ala Torah, he goes right to the Medrash, says it supports Rashi." Okay, so his whole thing on Shkut Echutz, and then of course his whole thing on Dam, is all about, the anti-Shkita basically, or Shkita's high standard and Shkita coming from Kachim and Dam being Chelek Gavoa Mimal that's the Nefesh and not just the Guf and therefore there's no Heter and this is one of the Rambans that gets you back to Bereshis and Noach, right? But together with his other views about Dam and about Shkita and so on. So I'm wondering, I'm not just thinking aloud, I could be wrong, this part I'm totally speculating about. Again, it's just curious that the Ramban didn't even weigh in on this anomaly in the end of the Parsha. Maybe he's comfortable with it. Either way, what I'm suggesting is that in light of the Rambam and the Ramban and their understanding of, and a little bit Rashi, and their understanding of the Parsha of Shkut Echutz and Dam, what better conclusion could there be than Psukim that say that, Nevela is Matame, right? And, that you have to really be careful about it. Because it's really all about Shechita and Achilas Basar B'Kedusha. Especially that was by, link it a little with Rabbi Yossi, with Rabbi Yossi Engel. He said, I think, Nevela is a function of Kedusha, and there's no Toeva, and it's an Iser Gavra, and it's a different Chatzi Shir. But what really bothers me, is why is it metame been, why is it metame? Okay. So that thing about Tumah is the last psukim in the whole parsha of Shkut Echutz, and it doesn't belong there, seemingly. Okay, good. Good. Next. So we're discussing Rashi. I have to finish by 12:30, and I do want to speak, it's going to be short, I see, about Rosh Hashanah. But let me try to get. I need to get through this first. Yeah, would you have a question quickly?
I just remember something to remind him about the Udra Mada. I mean, sorry, the Rabbi Yosef Ibn Plak had a Hapamina to make a bracha when you sell the veil to a goy.
Oh yeah. That also fits in very. that Shai brought to my attention that in that whole exchange in the tshuva, you know, the question is raised, look, when you, it says, O machor lenachri, right? You know, and the nesina leger, so, you know, maybe that should be a mitzvah. So again, this fits in just with what we've been saying, of course. Like, one of the things I was trying to establish was that this idea of defining a ger toshav, you know, as somebody who, you know, has everything but, you know, nevela, and therefore there's a kiyum in kind of accentuating that too, like, you know, the sina lenachri or mechira lenachri, because it highlights kedushas Yisrael. So the idea that you might make a bracha about that, like when you give it to a nachri, it's your way of saying, you know, he's a ger toshav. You know, he's not eating, you know, davar metuav. You know, but for us, this is metuav. It's metame, or the lack of shechita is just unacceptable. So in a way, you know, that would kind of trigger a bracha. Right. So again, defining ger toshav that way, even making a bracha for it, is again similar to what I was trying to say about the Rambam, let's say about ribbis and shemitas ksafim, etc. The idea isn't, you know, what you're not making a bracha. The mitzvah isn't what you're doing; it's what's reflected about kedushas Yisrael, you know, by virtue of what you're doing, right? So that's a good point. So that's the idea that maybe to make a bracha is amazing. Okay, let's talk about the other Rishonim just for a minute. So again, we talked about Rashi already. Rashi understands that Rabbi Shmuel, in terms of Shkut Chutz, again, not in his Perush al Torah, maybe that, Ramban says, oh, maybe that's because he's working with Rabbi Akiva there. But, and as we said, I think the point in Rashi more is that it's about the opportunity to easily do Kachim. And I think it has to do with Sheval Tasa and Kumbase, meaning ignoring that opportunity. So even though you don't have a Chepta Shom Kachim, right, if you have an ease of opportunity to do it, then that constitutes Shvutei Chutz. Shvutei Chutz isn't about the status of Kachim. It isn't about the improper, you know, confusion, the Tishtushat Tchumim between Kodesh and Chol. It's about not seizing an opportunity, and that's what I mean by the Shabbat Hasan. It's kind of a kumbase when you have the opportunity right there. This part of this opportunity, I should add, has to do with certainly turning the basar into a karban, but also has to do, since it's in the parsha of Shkutei Chutz, particularly with you know, bringing this basar as a karban to the mikdash. It's about chatzah shel mikdash, and it's about karban, not just that isn't, you know, basar taiva or chulin, but that is kedusha on its highest level. It's about the ambition of avodas Hashem in the karban, and part of that, of course, as a separate factor, and possibly as something that has to do with the quality of the karban, you'll see what I mean by this in just a second, has to do with being Pesach, the opportunity of Pesach Ol Moed. By this, I mean to suggest that you could be Mechalek, or that you could solve, you know, kind of Tosis's Ha'ara. What is Tosis's Ha'ara? Arye? Tosis Ha'ara on Yud Zayin Amin Aleph. What? No, not so much that. We'll get that in a second. No. We'll get to that one also. What other ha'ara that does Tosas make? Tosas says about Richuk and Kiruv Makom. About the Bama? Yeah. What does he ask? Again, so in my opinion, again, this has nothing to do with the Rashi, unlike the Rambam, doesn't think it's about the Shechita, but he does think it's about the opportunity, you know, the highest level opportunity to bring a korban and to bring korban to the Mikdash. So what's Tosa's question? Tosa says, it says in the Gemara, are you? You have it?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's about Kitta Masi Balfam, and if so, what according to Yishmael was being used to throw a Bamos situation?
If there's a Heter Bamos, so then Dafka, you should, the Arab Shmuel's din should apply you know, wherever you are, right? That's the question. So if you hold, as we'll discuss it more in just a second, if there's an iser of basar taiva, you know, unless you can do better, then that's a very reasonable question, frankly. Because, you know, you can make this not basar taiva. You know, there's no dibra Torah kenegad yetzer hara type of, you know, ki yircha ki yarchid, because you've got, so bring it to the bama. Do something with it. You know, basar taiva is a kind of macholas asuros, according to Tosis, maybe. Right? So unmacholas asur. Why? You have, you know, make the process of the adjustment so you wouldn't have to eat macholas asuros. But if it's a din in shutei chutz, like Rashi, then bama isn't going to help you. Right? But it's not really a din in shutei chutz because it isn't a korban. Right? The answer is that's true. But it's still part of the, you know, the charm, and part of what turns this into a kind of slap in the face is not just that it won't be basar taiva, you can make it not basar taiva, it's making it that kind of a chepza shel karban, or and including the being the Pesach Chol Moed. The whole parsha of Shkutei Chutz is only applicable, you know, in Chol Moed. And again, it's fascinating that Rashi himself in the Sugya emphasizes Chol Moed, as we said before. So this, I think, is an important issue. In general, heter bamos is a tricky topic. You know, what, you know, is really described? Heter bamos doesn't help you for everything. Right? It only helps you for certain types of karbanos. Even for the karbanos that it helps you for, you know, do you need, you know, do you need a kohen? Do you need big day kahuna? All those questions obviously go to the core question of you know, what really is it, both in terms of chepza shel karban as well as in terms of a kiyum in a boda, you know, the mikdash. So you could say, well, you know, even if there are a lot of differences between hakrava b'bama and hakrava b'ol moed, maybe it has to do with the venue itself, not so much with the karban. Meaning, let's say, only in the mikdash do you have to wear a certain uniform. Only in the mikdash, you know, do you need dafka kohen? These are dinim in the makom mikdash. But from a korban point, or no, it has to do with the quality of the korban as well. So I think that is important. Rashi l'shitaso doesn't have to, you know, worry about this problem at all. On the other hand, there's another curious Rashi. Rashi himself addressed the question on... On Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, Rashi addresses the question, you know, what do you need a pasuk to teach you Shkita and Eretz Yisrael for? Right? If you, you know, if you hold like this, right? One second. What does Rashi say about that, Aryeh? Tupshatim.
He wonders why he needs Tana.
Why do you need Uzvicha, right? That's one answer. That's a kind of a technical answer. I mean, don't take it so seriously. Don't worry about it. Right? Inami? So that what does that mean?
That in general, it's
some Mukdash. But that's problematic, and some of the Mefarshim in the back point this out, but it's obvious without them. You don't need them for that. Why is that problematic?
Because Rashi really
assumed
that
this Sugma was absolutely done. Yeah, I mean, Rashi in his Perashat Torah, as we know, in Re'eh and in the Sugya Daf Chav Ches Amud Aleph, thinks that these Pesukim are talking about Basar Chulin and Taiba that are not Psulim Mekdashim. This is Pasuk Chabes, not Pasuk Tezvav. So what's fascinating is the third day in Rashi, Inami.
Oh.
Oh, so here I just wanted to make the quick ha'ara. So what is the relationship? According to Rashi, it turns out that this parsha, you know, also includes reference, I mean, the parsha of the Basar Taiva, the Midbar, etc., also is a makar for the Isra of Chulin Bazara. So as we said, the relationship between Chulin Bazara and Shkutei Chutz, on the one hand, Rashi thinks this is connected to Shkutei Chutz, and on the other hand, he's, you know, he's suggesting that there's a link to Chulin Bazara. you could say that this din of Chulin Bazara is just a separate din. In other words, that's an explanation for the pasuk of Zavachta, nothing more. It doesn't have to be a conceptual connection. And in some respects, you could say that Chulin Bazara and Shchutei Chutz are opposites, like I said the other day. Right? One is about downgrading Kachim, being pogem Ketushas Kachim, and the other is about improperly upgrading Chulin. Right? How can you bring Chulin into the Mikdash? You know, it's a Prisas HaKavod for Hekdesh. Right? You don't have they're opposites. Right? Even if you want to take the view that maybe they're really two sides of the same coin. Right. Namely, if the Koveya in Shkutei Chutz is the confusion of Kodesh and Chol per se, right, both directions, so you could say it's in both directions, I'm sorry. Shkutei Chutz is a confusion of Kodesh and Chol, because you have Kodesh you're treating it like Chol. And Chulin Bazara is the same, or a related idea, right? You're taking Chulin, and you're treating it like Kachin. The common denominator, they're not opposites, they're the same. There's an improper, demarcation of these precincts. However, that's a little hard to say about Rashi in this context, since the Shutei Chutz is applying even when there's no Chafetz Shel Kachin. So maybe a third way to say it, if you want to say it's just unrelated, is that maybe Chulin Bazara itself is a kind of Shkutei Chutz. Meaning, maybe the problem of Chulin Bazara is not, that you're mixing up or that you're upgrading, the Chulin. The problem is that if you're already going to bring it into the Azara, why didn't you make it into a Korban? It's the lost opportunity, again, of, you take a korban and you leave the mikdash, or you're in the midbar, the mikdash, the mishkan is right there, and you choose not to bring a korban, and then the other affront, you have this chulin, and instead of eating it at home, like a tsanua, hungry person would. You bring it to Pesach Ol Moed into the Azara when you eat it there. If you're going to do that already, why weren't you makdish it? Why didn't you take that opportunity? So that might be kind of an extension, even for Dvarim She'enam Kodesh. Maybe it's like the ultimate extension of Shkutei Chutz that Rashi would embrace. Again, for the Balitosis, again, that this whole sugya of Basar Taiva is about a kind of Machalos Asuros. Has nothing to do, don't rely on this b'di'eved, when you could avoid it. Why eat macholas, quasi macholas asuros if you can avoid it? Nothing to do with Chulin Bazara, right? And nothing to do with Shkutei Chutz, right? Two totally different ideas. One other thing, Rashi, before we, I'm going to have to end, but one other point in Rashi very quickly. The greatest difficulty in Rashi, perhaps, is the problem of Tzvi V'Ayo. Right? Because, again, if you hold... No, I'm sorry. I take it back. No. Good. Rashi's fine. Tzvi V'Ayo is a good thing for Rashi. Balitosis attack Rashi in the other way. Like, always the Havamina, that Tzvi V'Ayo would be different. I don't even think it's a Havamina, it's a problem. Why eat Tzvi V'Ayo if you can eat something... that is easily accessible that you could take to the mikdash with you. Again, it's the past opportunity of a davar shebikdusha. Although the maskana is fine as well, so I don't have any problem with that part of Rashi either. For the balitosis, I'll just finish up with tosis, and then we'll again on Tzom Gedalia, we'll speak about the Ramban quickly, Ramban Raj Maran. But again, I also want to start talking about Shkitas Isha. Okay, so just talk about Tosus for 1 second. For Tosus, it appears that this is a kind of Macholos Asuros. The question is, what are you going to do about Tzvi V'Ayo, according to Tosus? If there really is an Iser Basar Shkuta, I'm sorry, there is an Iser Basar Taiva, and it's kind of a quasi machalas asuros. So the havamina is understandable. What's the maskana? Why is tziva ayol any different? So is it a kind of, you know, again, lo dibra Torah lekeneged yetzer hara? I mean, you don't have any other opportunity with the tziva ayol, and therefore it's mutter. Strange. But I think it's something a little bit different. And I think it's again highlighted by Tosis's question, although I think this might be the answer to the question. Right, Tosis asked the question, it was mentioned before, you know, when Tosis the Dibra Maskil Tema Rabbi Kiva, Minaleha Dima Mara Machada Mara Machada, Tosis is trying to find a place where there would be an Isur Nechira in Chulin. And Tosis says, oh, it can't be Tziva Ayil because it doesn't work in the Pasuk. But maybe it could be a Behema Balmum. That raises an interesting question. What is the status? Is this Behema Balmum the equivalent of Tziva Ayil? Right? So, for example, according to Rashi, I think that's a really interesting question to ask. I think you could make the argument for Rashi that a Behema Balmum should be like Tziva Ayil. Because if the Mechayiv, it's not the per se Basar Taiva Zasar, it's not Macholos Asuros, it's that you've kind of, you know, Sheval Tasa Kumba Asay, you know, slapped, you know, the opportunity of a korban in the face, right? Well, that's not true, you know, in a Behema Balmum, as it isn't for Tzivayel, unless you think it's a, you know, kind of a Loplug or a Marasayan or possible. But for the Bali Tosis, right, they ask this question. They're the ones who actually push this idea, so it doesn't really fit so well. But I'd like to say the following. That is it possible that Roy, for Bali Tosis, that the din of Roy Lahakrava, or Chazi Lahakrava, is also a shiur in the nature of the basa? In other words, even if it isn't the past opportunity of even if it isn't the actual past opportunity of avoiding kachim, maybe something that is roi la krava is a different kind of animal, you know, and a different kind of basa. This will be talked earlier, you know, about the difference between, you know, mesa me'eleha, mesa yide behema, mesa yide malach, mesa yide adam, that dictates how you look at the chapta shel basar. Is it possible that a korban or a davar haroy lekorban is considered a different kind of basar? A davar haroy lekorban, you know, is something, you know, which you can't eat as basar type. It's kind of becomes machalos asuros. But davar she'ena roy lekorban is just a different. It's like, you know, I'm not saying it's like, you know, peros and yirakos. But it's, you know, that's what it's for. So it's interesting that Tzid has an interesting comment, again, in his parish on Vayikra Perek Yud Zayin, where he talks about two types of dam. The dam, to explain the difference between dam chaya and dam behema, right? The Ramban has a tough time with this. Like, why do you need kisei adam? In both cases, it's ki adam or nefesh. It says the Tziv, and we've shown him to try to say some of this. The Tziv says, well, and the dam of a behema is a davar mechuar, because the behema is pra'i, you know, it's wild, and the blood is therefore, you know, again, I don't want to get into the halachic physiology of this, I'm just more interested in the general idea. Whereas the dam of a behema, which is omei lahakrava, you know, that's like noble dam. Okay. So the dinim of these two dams, they look alike, you know, but they're totally different. What I want to say is something like that about achilas basar or achilas behema v'achaya itself. Maybe Rabbi Shmuel, according to Bali Tosis, even though he holds that there's an isur kind of macholas asuras of achilas basar taiva, that's still only true in a basar haroi lahakraba, not because of the past opportunity, but because of the nature of the chepetza. But if that would be true, then likely we would say that that's true in Tzviva Ayal, you know, that's true in Achaya. I'm sorry, in Tzvi and so on. That's true in Achaya. that's not true when you have a behema, which is Roy La Krava, which happens to be a Baal Mum. Right, so that might be an answer to Tosas's question for the Bali Tosas, even though, according to Rashi, that probably would not be the case. Okay, let me just spend, I have like 5 minutes. Sorry, I apologize. We'll do better on Yom Kippur. Yeah?
Yeah, just perhaps a small idea that supports this idea is that Tosas in Yevamos thinks that even in RL would be mutter for everything because he can't ever have to be knocked. So Tosas here doesn't ask the question.
Tosas in Yevamos, correct.
So the idea here is that he only asks it from but not from RL. RL wouldn't have to do with this idea.
Right.
So
Tosas
here is good for
RL. I mean, RL is
past.
It has to do with his opportunities, but nothing with the Chepta Shel Basar.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm saying even here, even the Chepta Shel Basar, I would be mechalik between the min and the circumstance. But again, for Rashi, who says that it's, Roy, the Pesach Ol Moed, the Foal, and that's what creates the whole issue, there I would say, Orel and Balmum might be the equivalent of Tzvi and Chai. Okay. Sorry, I apologize. Just what I was going to...